Hi there! I'm Cindy Linden, and this is the Cook Along Podcast. Today we're going to do an experiment. I've never made this before in this way. It's to answer a couple of questions. So the first question is, why would you take one of the world's easiest recipes, which is Rice Krispie cookies, and make it more complicated? The second question is a perfect recipe something you should spend time trying to improve? Actually, before we get started here, I want to let you know that I do very little advertising for this podcast. My best advertising is word of mouth. If you like my podcast, would you please tell a friend about it and see if maybe they'll listen to something too, or check out some of the blogs that I have that are short, sweet, fascinating, and fun to read. At least I think so. That would be helpful. So I'm late to this party. I know I am because I see this version of the very easy, perfect Rice Krispie cookie recipe on several places on the internet, not just one. So that makes me think that other people have been doing this for a while and I'm late to the party. So when I found this the other day, I thought we should just try it and see if it's worth the extra fuss and the extra ingredients. Because, to be honest, it's got one of my very favorite baking ingredients in it, which is sweetened condensed milk. And I could eat that stuff with a spoon, I'm afraid, I'm sorry to say. So I figured, well, it seems like it's going to make this cloyingly sweet, but on the other hand, why not give it a shot? So it also has vanilla in it, and, you know, so let me start at the beginning. A regular Rice Krispie cookie recipe has three ingredients: Rice Krispies, or some sort of puffed rice cereal, butter, and marshmallows. That's it. So with this one, we're going to add some other things. We're going to add, well, here, I'll give you the ingredient list. A half cup of unsalted butter. There's the first change, because I always use salted butter, but there's a reason for that, so I'll tell you about it in a minute. A half cup of sweetened condensed milk. This is the gooey stuff. This isn't the evaporated milk that's kind of boring but useful. This is the stuff that is thick and rich and, like I said, kind of yummy on a spoon. And then you need a 10-ounce bag of mini marshmallows. You could use regular size ones, but it'll take a lot longer. The mini ones are better. And then a tablespoon. That's a lot, a tablespoon of vanilla extract. That can be imitation vanilla or whatever, it doesn't matter. A teaspoon of fine sea salt, that's going in the recipe, and that will help bring a contrast to the sweetness, which is something I've discovered I like a whole lot. I find a combination of sweet and salty to be a little bit addictive. I kind of inhale compulsively until it's gone. And then 6 cups of Rice Krispie cereal, or crisp rice cereal. By the way, if you've read my blogs on the cookalongpodcast.com, you probably have seen one that talks about the day that I decided to digitize my entire cooking library, which was a really kind of long project, but absolutely worth it because now I can search for things alphabetically. However, this recipe is one I cannot find on the first try ever. I modified the ingredient ratios a little bit for my version. I use a few more marshmallows to make it a little more soft and sticky. And so I always want to look up what it is that I did. But I don't have anything under Rice Krispie cookies. And it took me the longest while. And I can tell you now, I still think of them as Rice Krispie cookies, but they aren't under R for Rice Krispies. They are under M because these are actually officially called marshmallow treats. That's probably ancient information, like from when they first invented these. So that's where it's filed because that's the name of the recipe. But I call them Rice Krispie cookies. You can call them whatever you like. We're going to try to make some today. In terms of equipment, what you need is a 8x8 pan. So that's like a brownie pan. And this is a change. I hope that this is correct because I saw two different versions of this recipe online. They both use this size pan. But when I make these, I only use this size pan if I'm making a half recipe, because I usually use a 9x13 pan. And it makes a bunch of cookies, makes like 16 cookies. This still is going to make 16 cookies, but I guess they're going to be taller, which is probably okay, because it should help keep them from getting too hard, which is one of the promises that this recipe makes, is that they'll stay softer and gooier and not get as hard as they do for several days. You know, over several days, they tend to lose their chewiness and get kind of very crunchy if you don't eat them all at once, which kind of isn't a problem in my house. But we're going to try this to see if it makes them more soft, more gooey, too sweet, too salty, or whatever, too much work for the value. In addition to the pan, you will want some cooking spray or some butter that you can smear on so that the cookies don't stick inside the pan. And you'll need a largish pot, like a soup pot. So let's just start. I think I'm going to use butter. I think I'm going to use butter on my pan because butter. Spray would be faster and probably more completely, that's it, cover all the spots. But butter has a little salt, because I'm using regular butter here, not the unsalted stuff. It has a little salt and it has a little butter, and I think that having that on the undersides and outsides of the cookies, well, let's just say it can't be a bad thing, okay? You may not want to work that hard. I'm just using my fingers to smear a little butter around through the pan up along the edges, because I think it's going to fill this pan, if I'm right about it being a lot for this size pan. I'm going to grease all the way to the top edge and the bottom. These are very sticky cookies already. So I'm thinking if we add condensed milk, it must get even stickier, right? All right. That didn't take a lot longer than spraying it. Okay. Now we have our big pot on the stove. I'm going to turn that on to medium heat. And I have a stick of unsalted butter, which is kind of what you need. I'm just going to throw that in there. It's going to take a few minutes to heat up and melt. And that's okay. I think while it's melting, the next ingredient to go in is going to be the condensed milk. So I'm going to open that. I've got a pull top one here. And measure out a half a cup. So I'm pouring it in. Oh my gosh, look at that. Oh, it's so beautiful. It's so beautiful. Okay. Okay, to the half cup mark. Yeah. Now I've got all this in a can, which is really not very helpful. Cleaning up the edges. So I'm going to move this to what? Some kind of jar. I think I can freeze this. I think that's what I'm going to try anyway. With all that sugar in there, it may not freeze. So it'll be interesting to see. But if I put this stuff in my refrigerator, I tend to forget about it and it doesn't get used. So I'm going to pour this into a container, stick it in the freezer, and we'll see what happens. Usually your can is going to be, you probably already know this if you're doing this with me, about 14 ounces, which is almost twice what we really need here. And then, you know, I can't get it all out of this can with my rubber spoon here, which means it's going to have to get cleaned up by finger. And that's such a sad thing. Such a sad thing. Well, I'm going to save this for later, mostly. Oh my goodness. I suppose some people think this is gross. Too bad. So sad. You can stop listening to this part. Oh my gosh. I have to put it down or I'm going to finish it now. Okay, butter is melting. I'm just going to kind of tip the pot around a little bit. You know what? I think that's too hot. I'm going to turn it down to about 4. I don't think I really want it bubbling this hard. Not yet, anyway. If you want this to go faster, you can always cut your butter into pieces. You know, like tablespoons or even just quarters. Quarter your stick before you put it in. That way you don't have to be patient. All right. Now, the milk goes in at this point. We add the milk. Oh, interesting. Can you hear that? I suppose that's because the milk has water in it and the butter is fat. So it's, you know, it's not spitting, but it's definitely speaking. And then we're just going to stir that together until it's all uniformly combined. And we got some small bubbles starting to happen in the center, which the recipe says will take about 2 minutes. I don't think it's going to take that long, but it might. Look, now I have this measuring cup with condensed milk on it. Yeah, I didn't know I liked this stuff till I was a grown-up, because it never occurred to me to try it when I was a kid or my mom was baking or whatever. Why would you do that? It's like milk in a can. Now I know why. By the way, you know what? I'm not going to talk right now. Mine's already bubbling. So the next thing we're going to do is throw in this bag of marshmallows. Now these come in 16-ounce bags, but they also come in 10-ounce bags, which is what this recipe calls for. So this way you can use the whole bag, I guess is what I'm saying. So we're going to stir until the marshmallows are all melted and the mixture is smooth. So I started to say, my mother didn't make these. It seems like something everybody's mother probably made, but mine did not. She didn't care for them. You know, I don't even know how she knows she didn't care for them. The only time I would get these was trick-or-treating at Halloween. And you can tell, you know, that was a while ago when people still made homemade treats. You get popcorn balls and you get Rice Krispie. You know, I feel like I remember them also in a kind of a ball shape. But I might be misremembering that. At any rate, that was the only time I got them. I thought they were fabulous. But it never even occurred to me to ask my mother to make them, because she just didn't make them. You know, you don't go to your mom and ask her to make some recipe she's never made. You might talk to her and say, could you make the blah, blah, blah that I like so much for dinner? But you don't think to ask her for something you've never had in your house before. Or at least I didn't. I should say that. We're stirring. Mine is smoothing out really fast. And I have my burner on 4 now, but it's definitely happening quickly. Now, in the original recipe of this, oh my goodness, yeah, I think it's burning on the bottom. I'm going to turn it way down. It's kind of browning down there. I don't think I want it to do that. This doesn't happen in the original recipe. You know what? I'm taking it off the heat. I don't think it needs to be on the heat for this. I don't want it to burn. Okay, we're almost all smoothed out now. Here's where I sometimes lose my spoon into the pan. I'm going to try to not do that this time. Okay, now we need vanilla. What am I going to use? I'm going to use Baker's vanilla. Baker's imitation vanilla. This, by the way, there is a blog about this on my website. It's fascinating. I'll tell you about it in a minute. Right now, let's measure out a tablespoon. A tablespoon. That's part of the reason I'm not using the real stuff. That stuff's really expensive, and it seems like a lot. And then we're going to put in a teaspoon of fine sea salt. Now, I don't have one that's designated as fine, but it's table salt size, and it's all I have right now, so I'm going to put that in. That's kind of a lot of salt as well. And then we're going to stir those things in. And then, big surprise, the next thing, once this is all stirred up together, we stir in the Rice Krispies. In go the Rice Krispies. And stir that up. At this point, if you want to, there's one more upgrade you could do. Especially if you use the larger bag of marshmallows. You didn't use the whole thing. I'm not going to do this. And I'll tell you why in a minute. But if you wanted to, at this point, you could stir in another cup of the miniature marshmallows. They won't melt as much. They'll still be soft and a little bit gooey, but they aren't going to disintegrate. They're not part of the sauce that we made the cookies with. They're just sort of little studs that will stay in the mix as marshmallow pieces. I'm not going to do that because this is going to sound really odd at this point, but I don't care for marshmallows by themselves. I love what they do in texture of, I put them in my brownies. I love Rice Krispie cookies. Sorry, marshmallow treats. But I don't eat them just plain uncooked. Because once upon a time, oh, this is so stupid. I was just 12, 11, something like that. I went to a Girl Scout camp and they had s'mores. Of course they had s'mores at the campfire that night. And afterward, I got sick. I didn't keep that down, and who knows why that is, but it's one of those things, you know, when you eat something and then you get sick, you don't feel like you ever want to eat that something again. So that's where I am with marshmallows. The other thing I remember about that Girl Scout camp, and it is the only other thing, was that in the morning when we got up, they cooked pancakes for us, and the center was raw. It was just gooey batter. Oh, my God. That did not put me off pancakes forever. It didn't, because that didn't make me sick. It just weirded me out a little bit. Anyhow, let's see. Where were we? Yeah, the Rice Krispies are starting to talk as their little air bubbles fill up with liquid here. You know, here's the other thing about this that seems interesting to me. Is that by adding that milk, you've also changed the amount of liquid to the amount of Rice Krispies. You know, the ratio has changed kind of dramatically. That seems, I don't know. That's interesting. They're much wetter and goopier than a usual Rice Krispie cookie recipe. Sorry, marshmallow treat recipe. Right, now these go into that pan we prepared. Like I said, I kind of imagine it's going to fill it mostly to the top. Oh, I'm so glad I took it off the heat. I think the milk must really have been starting to burn. You know, milk is a protein, and proteins, this is something I learned in home ec. Remember home ec class? I am dating myself all through this here. In eighth grade, that proteins cook at lower heat, therefore they're easier to burn if you're not careful. The ones I always think of for this are milk and eggs, and they will burn really fast. You may have had experience with that if you're not paying attention. Yeah, well, this is leaving a lot of goop behind in the pan, and I definitely did brown some to the bottom, and it is definitely higher in the pan. Okay, now we have to push them into the pan. Now, you can use a piece of wax paper for this. You can use a silicone spoon for this. You can butter the back of a regular spoon for this. The recipes I've seen for this particular version say don't pack it down too tight. You don't want them hard and dense. Just pack them lightly. They do fit in this pan. They do come up most of the way to the top. That makes me wonder if I've been making them wrong my whole life by putting them in a big long pan. How funny. I'm using a silicone spoon, the same one I stirred with, and I'm not having any problem with it sticking. So silicone spoons can be useful. Just saying. Now, at this point, if you want to, you can sprinkle the top with just a little pinch of flaky sea salt. I'm not going to do that. I kind of want to see what it's like with just the salt we put in the recipe, since that's already different from what I'm used to. Huh. Well, it tastes different. By the way, that's another thing that's a little different with this recipe. It really, sorry, is that condensed milk thing again. Although this time it's out of the pan. They really strongly recommend that you do not touch these until they are completely, completely cool. Apparently that changes the texture or something. They just recommend that you don't mess with them at all for like an hour. I never do that. I'm always into them. Not as soon as I do them, but I'm checking them and checking them. Are you cool yet? Are you cool enough to eat yet? And I usually end up eating them warm. Today I'm not going to do that. So I'm going to leave you for a bit, and then I'm going to come back to you and we'll taste these. But before I do, I want to tell you about blog I started to tell you about. I have a blog about vanilla extract. It's fascinating. Vanilla, if you're trying to buy real vanilla these days, it's really expensive. It's exorbitantly expensive due to some weather and political conditions in Madagascar, where most of our vanilla comes from. And I wrote a blog after seeing some research on artificial vanilla. Oh, I see. Yeah, you can't do it early. I just touched this at the top and it kind of stuck to my finger. So my guess is the reason you can't eat them until they're cool is because they don't hold together at all until they're cool. Anyway, this blog is a research project done by Cook's Country or somebody, a prestigious magazine. And they invited a bunch of professional cooks, chefs, to sample some vanilla. And I'm not going to tell you the rest because their reaction is surprising and useful to know. And so I would encourage you to go look for it on the website, thecookalongpodcast.com. Just type in the word vanilla in the search bar, but you can click on blogs. I think it's called Imitation Vanilla Surprise. So take a peek for that. I think it will change the way you think about your baking. This isn't exactly baking, but you know what I mean. Okay, so I'm going to go away now, and I will be back, I guess, in about an hour. We'll come back and see what this tastes like. I have an appointment with a condensed milk can that still has leftover stuff in it. All right, you know me, so patience is not one of my strong points. I just tested it and checked it. I'm feeling the box, the pan, that's it. It's 30 minutes now, and they're completely cool, but I can tell they're still really soft. And then I look back at the instructions, and it says, let's set up on the counter for at least 1 hour. So back to waiting. All right, so here I am back, and it's been about an hour and 45 minutes. And here's what I can tell you so far. First, this may sound a little different to you because I'm using a different microphone because I'm outdoors and I have some friends here who are lucky enough to have stopped by when we get to test this out and see if it really is better or worth it. But I'll tell you the first thing I'm noticing is that they're way softer. Like, they don't hold in squares at all. Sorta. It's more like a pile of Rice Krispies. In fact, I'll take a picture so you can see it. And I'm just going to have them test. So it's still COVID, so we're all sitting around wearing masks. So I'm going to have to kind of put my mask back on, and then we'll all try it in turns, and you guys can hear what they have to say. Okay, so I'm doing the first taste test. And what I can tell you is that they don't hold together at all. That they're really soft and really gooey. And that could be good if you like that kind of thing. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. The Rice Krispies are not crispy at all. That could be because of the extra soup we put them in, or it could be because my Rice Krispies were 1,000 years old. So you'll have to try it at home, and you can let me know. Send me a comment in my Facebook page and let me know how it came out for you. All right, now I'm going to have other people test it. Who's up? Somebody come up. Just see if it's different. And whether you think it's a good difference or a bad difference. Or an unnoticeable difference.
I think I would kind of like it to hold together like the original Rice Krispie.
All right.
It's delicious, but
okay,
it doesn't hold together very well.
No, it sure as heck doesn't. Mm-mm. Okay, somebody else?
Okay. I have a small piece, but since they break apart so easily, that should be easy, right?
Yeah, well... Not so much. There you go. There you go.
That's too much. Okay. See
okay,
when
wait.
You...
Okay, go ahead. So he just, like, you can tell it didn't hold together at all well because he just shook it to get the part off that he didn't want to get. The analysis is deep.
I would definitely eat extra insulin for this.
Okay.
They're very sweet.
Yes.
Other than that, I mean, it's just, I would go for these just like I would go for other Rice Krispie treats, which is probably never.
Okay. Okay. There you go. All right. We got one more person to try them. We would just all do this in a group if it wasn't for this stupid social distancing thing. I'm getting a little bit of happy dance from this person.
I like the flavor. Yes, the Rice Krispies are old. And everything tastes better with chocolate. So I would say I would want to know what makes that flavor somewhat different. But I agree with Kathy. When it doesn't hold up in a square, you know.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, if it's marshmallow treats, you got to eat with a spoon. We're not getting a lot of points for that. So there you go. So anyway, that's our test for today. Oh, somebody just took seconds. Okay. So now, run away. Share these with your family. Share these with your friends. In the meantime, I hope you will check out the website, thecookalongpodcast.com. You can contribute to the podcast yourself by going to patreon.com and looking up The Cook Along Podcast. And there you can see the information that I post there. I post full recipes there for you to see, and you can contribute to the making of this podcast, which that would be swell. That would be very swell. And you can communicate with me, send me messages, send me questions, send me comments, send me recipes on my Facebook page. Go to Facebook and type in The Cook Along Podcast, and you will find me there. You can type a comment or a question, send me a message through Messenger. I will respond to all of those things. It should be within a few hours of when you leave it for me. Well, here's a quick little postscript afterward / addendum. It turns out if you put these in the refrigerator, they will cut up into squares, but you have to have them in the fridge to make that happen for a little while before you do it. And the second thing is, they're too sweet. Kind of one of the things I like about Rice Krispie treats is that you can just eat one and then go back and eat another one and then go back and eat another one, because they don't have a lot of weight to them. They don't have a ton of sweetness to them. And it's mostly air, right? Because Rice Krispies, they're mostly air. Marshmallows, they're mostly air. So you can eat a ton of them. You can't do that with these. They're too rich. There you go. That's the final word on these. Now, goodbye. Go enjoy. Share them with your friends. Get them out of your house so you can try something new. Until next time, happy cooking!